بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, the illustrious Sahabi and companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was according to some amongst the first 10 and according to some others amongst the first 20 who embraced Islam. At the time when Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted Islam, he was a young man aged between 16 and 18 years. Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a slave in Makkah al-Mukarramah, which means he belonged to the weaker sector of the community. And those who belonged to the weaker sector of the community, they became the main victims, they became the main targets of oppression, hostility, and genocidal behavior, because they did not have the support of the elite. So others like Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his father Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Samayyah radiallahu ta'ala anha, all of these who belonged to the weaker sector of the community became the main victims of the aggression of the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala especially, he was beaten relentlessly. 16-year-old youngster, he was beaten relentlessly by his master. At times he was beaten to a point where he would fall unconscious and remain in a state of unconsciousness for a lengthy period of time. They would take Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this young man, and they would place hot burning coals onto his back until the meat, the flesh and the fat would melt off his body. Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu endured great suffering as a young man. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu once passed by the grave of Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This was in Kufa. Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was buried in Kufa. And he passed by the grave of Khabbab. And he said, O Khabbab, may Allah have mercy upon you. You had suffered like no other person had suffered. And your reward is certainly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the climate in Makkah al-Mukarramah. You had this weak sector of the community persecuted at the hands of the governing body in Makkah al-Mukarramah. So on one occasion, a group of them, Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, along with his friends, they decided to complain to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the sufferings that they had endured at the hands of the enemy. So they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the one who narrates this incident. He says, Shakawna ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa huwa mutawassidun burdatan lahu fi dhill al-Ka'ba. We came while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was relaxing and lying down on a sheet of his, which he formed into a cushion, and he was reclining against the Kaaba, or he was lying in the shade of the Kaaba. We came to him, a group of us, and we complained. We said, Ya Rasulullah, أَلَا تَنْسِرُ لَنَا أَلَا تَدْعُ اللَّهَ لَنَا. O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will you not ask Allah to assist us? Will you not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us? Will you not make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that Allah may lift the suffering, the pain that we have to endure at the hands of the enemy? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was an embodiment of mercy, he understood the pain of Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He understood that these Sahaba, who were mostly slaves in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and who belonged to the weaker sector of the society, he understood that they were the main victims of the aggression against them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sets up, and this is the message that we need to keep before us as we witness suffering around the world. Whether it is suffering on a personal level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed me to encounter test, whether it is of an emotional challenge, whether it is a physical challenge, whether it is a psychological challenge, whether it is a suffering that I am faced with, pain that I have to endure for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is of a financial nature, financial loss, or whether it is pain that we are observing around us that the ummah is subjected to. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam provides Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu with a roadmap, with a guideline. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inspires hope in the heart of Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu and every other Muslim who suffers around the world in whichever way, at whichever level, in whichever capacity. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sits up and he addresses Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And what does he say to Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu? He says, "O Khabbab, لَيُتِمَّنَّ اللَّهُ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ Khabbab, your pain is not without purpose. Your suffering is not without gain. As difficult as it may seem, as painful as it may be, as enormous as the challenge may be, understand that your pain is not without purpose. The ummah's pain is never without purpose. لَيُتِمَّنَّ اللَّهُ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ Khabbab, right now you do not see light at the end of the tunnel. Right now you cannot see an opening. You are surrounded in an atmosphere of negativity and pessimism. And every morning you wake up knowing that you are going to hear of a calamity that has struck the ummah, or pain that an ummati suffers, or suffering that is inflicted upon certain members of the ummah, especially the weaker sector of the community. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like every other nabi, they always sought to change the atmosphere of pessimism into one of optimism. It was the salient quality of every nabi. If we look at Musa alayhi salam, on the occasion of Ashura, we perhaps heard the incident when Musa alayhi salam arrived at the Red Sea and he was pursued by a mighty army of Fir'aun, who boasted about the might that he possessed and the military might that he owned. And he pursued them with an army of approximately 1 million. And they arrive at the Red Sea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَ الْجَمْعَانِ When the two forces came face to face, there was an environment of pessimism and negativity amongst the followers of Musa alayhi salam. They began taunting Musa alayhi salam. They began blaming him for orchestrating this event in order to have them killed. So the environment around Musa alayhi salam was a very negative one. He was surrounded by pessimists. What did Musa alayhi salam respond when they said, Inna lamudrakun, O Musa, why did you bring us to this point? We are going to be annihilated. We are going to be killed. We are going to be taken back and persecuted. Musa alayhi salam, the Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal, what did he say? Kalla, never. Inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. My Rabb is with me. Optimism. He transformed that atmosphere and environment of negativity and pessimism into one of positivity and optimism. And this was the sunnah of every Nabi, the salient quality of every Nabi in a situation of difficulty or what seemed as an insurmountable challenge before him or before his people. He always changed that situation into one of positivity and optimism. Yaqub alayhi salam, when those around him taunted him, 40 years have passed, and you still have hope to find Yusuf alayhi salam. You are still optimistic in finding Yusuf alayhi salam, and they taunted him. Those around him were negative. Your son has been kidnapped, 40 years have passed. Where do you think you will ever retrieve him or locate him or find him? There was grief. Being optimistic and positive does not mean that one becomes an emotionless robot. There is grief, there is sadness. But one is optimistic and hopeful in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never abandon you as an individual and will never abandon us as an ummah. This important principle that we use in order to allow us to overcome challenges in life is repeatedly emphasized in the Quran, is repeatedly demonstrated by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the pain of the ummah is not without purpose. The pain of the ummah is not without gain. So Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala complained about the pain. O Nabi of Allah, we do not see any relief from the pain that we find ourselves in. Years have passed and we are subjected to suffering. We might say 2 years or approximately 2 years have passed since the genocide started in the land of Gaza. And very easily one can resort to despondency, or one can resort to questioning the decree and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says to Khabbab, Wallah la yutimmanna Allahu hadha al-amr. Khabbab, understand that through your suffering and through your pain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow this deen to prevail. This deen will prevail throughout the world as a result of the pain that you are suffering. The genocidal behavior that you have been subjected to, Allah will not allow it to go unrewarded. Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he then migrates to Al-Madinatul Munawwarah. What is he witnessing? Not only is he witnessing it, but he's experiencing the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is witnessing, he is experiencing, he is living the gain that followed the pain that he suffered for such a lengthy period of time in Makkatul Mukarramah. We said he was amongst the first 10 who embraced Islam in Makkatul Mukarramah. So his suffering lasted for a period of 13 years, from the age of 16 until he was approximately 30 years old. He was subjected to suffering, torment and pain every day of his life. But he held on to the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the pain is not without purpose, the pain is not without gain. And that is what we believe as individuals. If we are tested on a personal level as well, and that's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he so beautifully said to the believer, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٍ. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, how astonishing, how wonderful, how amazing is the affair of a believer. His every affair, favorable or unfavorable, prosperity or adversity, both are good for him. Both are good for him. Why? Through his difficulty, he endures, he perseveres, he turns to Allah through the channel and through the avenue of sabr. And that is good for him. So it's a win-win situation for him. And when he is in ease and comfort and prosperity, then he's turning towards Allah through the channel of shukr. So in both situations, he's turning to Allah. It's either through the channel of sabr or it is through the channel of shukr. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he leaves Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu with this message, that no matter how long the suffering may last, and no matter how long the difficulty may persist, understand, O Khabbab, that it will produce gain, it will produce ease, it will produce some benefit in the future. Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala migrates. He migrates from Makkah to Mukarramah, he arrives in Al-Madinah to Munawwara, and already he's experiencing the gain. From a position of weakness, there's a transition. From weakness, there's a transition to a position of strength. From being a minority in Makkah to Mukarramah, there's a transition to becoming the majority. From a position of abject poverty, Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala had absolutely no wealth. He lived a life of poverty in Makkah al-Mukarramah, but later on he passed away as an affluent, successful businessman. Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu is witnessing and is experiencing the gains that were produced through the pain that the Muslims suffered in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And then during the Khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is witnessing the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's living it, he's experiencing it. And he sees how Islam expands, and he realizes that the pain of the Muslim Ummah was a catalyst for the expansion and for the growth of deen. Through the era of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he witnesses how Islam spreads even further, until Muslims conquer Al-Quds al-Sharif. May Allah return it to the ownership and to the custodian of the believers. So Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala who experiences the gain that was produced through the pain of the Ummah. And that is something that we must understand and realize. And we can never stop speaking about the pain of the Ummah. Some people might assume that we have Gaza fatigue. Everything's about Gaza. Everything's about the pain. Everything is about the suffering of the Ummah. We can never stop speaking about it, because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so long as there is pain, you will react. And if you are not reacting, you do not belong to that same body. It does not make sense that one part of the body is in suffering and in pain and the other parts of the body are not reacting. So the first thing we need to understand, that the pain of the Ummah, or the pain that I suffer as an individual, is not without purpose. If we study and if we look at the pain of the Muslims in Gaza alone, and there are so many hot spots around the world, whether it is the Muslims in Kashmir, or the Muslims in India, the Muslims of Sudan, the forgotten Muslims in China, the Uyghur Muslim community around the world, the Muslims of Syria, and wherever else, they are suffering. We are taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we are an ummah that will struggle, and every struggle will produce gain. Our struggling, our pain is not without purpose. Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqih. Allah says, oh insan, you will struggle and you will struggle and you will struggle throughout your life until you meet Allah. We said that the salient quality of every Nabi was to remain optimistic and hopeful. We are an ummah of optimism. Never do we resort to pessimism. Every Nabi, subhanallah, we spoke about Nabi Musa alayhi salam and how he changed that environment of pessimism and negativity around him into one of positivity and optimism. We have the example of Yusuf alayhi salam or Yaqub alayhi salam. So when the people around him taunted him for still being optimistic and for being hopeful, they taunted him. And what did he say? He said, Asa ayatiyani bihim jami'a. Asa, this word, Asa, you will find every Nabi, when he was in a difficult space, when he was surrounded by negativity, when everything seemed against the Nabi, you will find various places in the Quran, the Nabi expressed hope, optimism and positivity by using this word Asa. Yaqub alayhi salam, Asa. What does asa mean? Subhanallah, asa in the Arabic language is called fi'lur raja. Fi'lur raja It is a word that is used in the Arabic language specifically to produce a positive meaning of hope and a positive meaning of optimism. Asa. That's why it's called fi'lul raja. What does raja mean? Raja means hope. So whenever you wish to express hope and positivity and optimism in Arabic, you use the word asa. Every Nabi in the Quran you will find, when he was in a very difficult situation, when it seemed there was no way out, what did he say? Asa. Yaqub alayhi salam says, asa. I am hopeful, I'm optimistic, my Allah will bring them all back to me. Musa alayhi salam is leaving Masr. He's escaping from Egypt. All the odds seem to be against him. He has nothing, he has no provision, he has no family to go to, he is going to an unknown land. He has no provisions along with him, he does not have a spouse. But as he leaves, he expresses optimism. Everything seems against him. Asa Allah an yahdiyani sawa as-sabeel. Asa, again. And optimism, positivity, produces dua. For as long as you are optimistic and you are positive, you will make dua. And a person who is negative and pessimistic does not call out to Allah for dua because he has given up hope. Every Nabi, you will find that their optimism and their positive attitude produced a dua. And that's what we need during this difficult time, is being optimistic, and that will then produce dua. We don't ever stop making dua to Allah and calling upon Allah. Again, whether it is negativity that arises from a personal suffering that I am subjected to, or by observing the sufferings of others around the world. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he made dua to Allah for a child in his advanced age. He was approximately 90 years old. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. He never gave up. He was optimistic. The optimism produced a dua. Zakariya alayhi salam, idh nada rabbahu nida'an khafiyya. He was extremely old, but he was optimistic. Optimism produces dua. He made dua to Allah. And that's what we need to hold on to, optimism, positivity. Ana inda dhanni 'abdi bi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you will have a positive perception and you will have a positive expectation from me, then it will produce something positive for you. Wa in kana sharran fa sharr. But if you have a negative perception about Allah, and if you have a negative, pessimistic expectation regarding Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow you to witness the same according to your expectations about Allah. So we first spoke about the pain of the ummah is not without purpose. The pain of the ummah is not without gain. And there are so many gains that the people of Gaza have experienced, their personal gains in the form of martyrdom, in the form of immeasurable rewards, in the form of resilience, in the form of establishing connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question is, what gain have I acquired through their pain? Has this moved me closer to Allah, or has it not moved me closer to Allah? Because if the pain of the ummah has not moved me closer to Allah, has not created within me that ability to react as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in the hadith that we should react. This is what it means by reacting. Has it forced me to reshape my priorities in life, to reshape my values in life? Has it moved me closer to Allah? Gaza has moved the world. Has it moved me closer to the kalam of Allah? Has it moved me closer to recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because if the suffering of the ummah has not moved me closer to Allah, has not forced me to reshape my priorities in life, has not forced me to reshape my values in life, then I should not be feeling sympathetic towards the people in that part of the world, but I should be feeling sympathetic towards myself over the lifelessness of my heart. Secondly, we learned that remaining optimistic in difficult times is the sunnah of every Nabi. And that optimism will produce dua. It will force you to turn to Allah. And one of the most effective ways through which you can turn to Allah is through dua. We have no control over the situation. You don't have any control over the circumstance, but you have control over your reaction to the situation. Your reaction to the situation, that you have control over. If you are diagnosed with a disease, or you are diagnosed with an illness, or you suffer a financial loss, or loss of life, or whatever it may be, you have no control over the situation, but your reaction is what you have control over. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the reaction to a calamity before speaking about the calamity. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِصَبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the reaction to a calamity before Allah lists the calamity that you will face in life. Why? Because the calamity is something you have no control over, but the reaction is something you have control over. The third thing that we should keep in mind, very often perhaps shaitan plants the idea or the thought in the mind that Allah has abandoned the ummah. Why is it that Allah allows the suffering of the ummah to continue relentlessly? Members of the ummah are subjected to persecution and are subjected to suffering and pain. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the hadith, "Inna ummati hadhihi ummatun marhuma." Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that my ummah, this ummah of mine, it is at the center of Allah's divine providence. It's at the center of Allah's divine mercy, love and compassion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never shift His mercy, His love, His rahmah, His compassion away from this ummah. It will remain with this ummah. Then the question comes to the mind that if this ummah is at the center of Allah's divine love, compassion and mercy, why does the ummah endure what it endures? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answers this in the same hadith. لَيْسَ لَهَا عَذَابٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. My ummah will not be taken as an ummah and cast into hellfire. We do not determine our value as an ummah. Our worth as an ummah is not determined by our worldly experiences. We need to understand that. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will determine the worth and the value of my ummah by that which has value, and that is akhirah. The dunya is worthless. The dunya has no value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your worldly experiences and what you are observing in terms of the worldly circumstances, that does not determine the worth and the value of this ummah. Our worth as an ummah is determined by akhirah, which has value. Never should we be deceived by the worldly circumstances and feel that we have become a worthless ummah in the sight of Allah. لَيْسَ لَهَا عَذَابٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِنَّمَا عَذَابُهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Yes, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, my ummah will suffer in this dunya. Why? To elevate it in akhirah. The more a person is suppressed in this dunya, the more a person suffers in this dunya, the more a person is elevated in akhirah. And that is a principle that is taught to us by the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna عِظَمَ الْبَلَىٰ إِنَّ عِظَمَ الْجَزَىٰ مَعَ عِظَمِ الْبَلَىٰ. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the greater the pain, the greater the suffering. We don't ask for it. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, always ask Allah for afiyah, for well-being. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, sometimes Allah wishes to elevate you or elevate the ummah. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test the ummah through different trials and tribulations. May Allah ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.